baby. I love your nails, I love your touch, I love to touch you, baby. You never fail to kill me. Some say give me five, but I'll give you ten. You can make it 20, but you're holding out again. Think it over, baby. Think it over, baby. I will always love you. That can't be denied. Love you up until the day that heaven knows I tried. For the time being, I will tell you this. I love to love you, love to love you, but there's something missing. Now, baby, listen unconditionally. Put your hand in my hand and surrender to me.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and or maybe I should say that was welcome to the Everly Brothers Podcast, because that sure reminds me of the Everly Brothers as we were listening to Elvis Costello and Paul McCartney singing 20 Fine Fingers from the new Paul McCartney Archive Collection of Flowers in the Dirt. So I know you've been excited to have this new release, and...
I got it here. I mean, it's World Tour Pack. Wait, is this the right one I got, Dave? This World Tour Pack, Flowers in the Dirt. This is the old 1989 bonus thing where you just get one extra song, Party Party.
Oh, Party Party, okay.
As a really a tiny disc that would only fit in. Remember the old CD players? They had the center thing. It was like a real tiny little
mini disc. Yeah,
so that's the only bonus thing other than all of these, like,
Chris is showing me all these stickers and cards and all cards
the
stuff.
And the I don't know why we need the tour itinerary but very cool poster in here that has the McCartney band and how it came together and everything.
That's not as far-fetched and out of reach as you would think, because in a way all that stuff that you're showing and talking about, the tour itinerary and all that, this album Flowers in the Dirt, I think it was Paul really needed an album to go back out on tour with. And the previous album, of course, was the lackluster Press to Play. And you couldn't really go out on a tour with that. But then this album came out, and it worked really well for a tour. So there's a lot you can say about that.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I particularly after reading the McCartney book, it seems like Flowers in the Dirt sort of marks the modern era of McCartney. You know, there was a little bit of confusion in between Wings and this album.
Yeah.
With some sort of like half material that was half Wings created and sort of put together with Tug of War and Pipes of Peace. Good albums.
Right.
But, well, Tug of War better than Pipes of Peace. This one was like you said, the start of these big tours that he took following the album. So from here on out, we'd get album, and then we'd get, okay, let's go on another world tour.
Exactly.
Even Driving Rain, let's go on a world tour, promote Driving Rain.
Yep.
So,
and it's interesting if you look at the tour list for this time period. So this was 89. I actually saw, the first time I saw McCartney was at the Rosemont Horizon, which is no longer called that. What is it called now? Has a different, like, some corporate name, doesn't it?
I think it's Allstate Arena, maybe?
Okay, that sounds right.
Thing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing him in December of 89. I went with my mother, and she, it was a school night, and I remember not doing my math homework, and she said it was okay. So that was good. But this is interesting because Paul, in contrast to now, he actually plays... on the 89 tour, he plays a bunch of the tunes from this album on tour. And he starts the tour, like almost every show was started with a Figure of Eight, tunes from this album. Whereas nowadays, when you go see him, the new tunes are, if there's any at all, they're kind of in the middle, or you can tell people are going to the bathroom and whatever. But there's something about this album that, like you say, it was a rebirth in a way for him. And there's a lot of good tunes on here, I think, as we'll get into.
It's funny how memory plays with you. I remembered this. Maybe it's because I got this big deluxe version of it. just like absolutely loving this album when it came out and just being like really excited about it and liking a lot of the songs in it. Some of them I don't like as much on a re-listen now.
Right.
But what didn't strike me back then but does strike me now is the cobbled together thing about it with several different producers on it. There's a good article out there. I think it's on superdeluxe.com maybe. Yeah, we'll share it on our Facebook page. But it's got the four or five producers that were involved with it telling stories about working with Paul and, well, I tried to get him to do this, but he didn't want to do this. And, well, you know, at times it makes him sound like very difficult to work with. But they generally left it with like, oh, yeah, this was a really positive experience. And there's a lot of good songs on them. And there are.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize at the time listening to it back then how sort of like diverse it was. Like almost like they're pulling in different directions.
And that's kind of happened in recent albums too. Remember the last on New, he had four different producers as well, and they have a different sound, a different style. And so, we're going back to, this was released on June 5th, 1989, and the producers that you're mentioning, we have Paul, of course, Mitchell Froom, Neil Dorfman, Trevor Horn, Steve Lipson, Chris Hughes, Ross Cullum, David Foster, Phil Ramone on the CD reissue tracks, and then Elvis Costello. So a lot of cooks in the kitchen here on this one. And that, like you say, I think it produces mixed results, but what's good is really good. And
yeah,
that makes it stand out. So it was recorded October of 84 all the way through January of 89. So had a long gestation. I think we've been all waiting for this reissue because, strangely enough, on a four CD greatest hits of Paul McCartney, there was one album that had no tracks. I wonder what it was.
Yeah. And
yeah, so here we are. Now it finally comes out. We have a lot to say about it, so I think we'll talk about the album proper first, and then dig into all the different configurations and controversies that have arisen.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned a name in passing there, and we played one of the hot demo tracks to start the album with Elvis Costello. So, you know, I don't know if their intention was when they got together and recorded all these demos was to make an album together, and then they were like, it's not going to quite work to do a do you think Paul could do an album that was just like Paul and another guy?
No.
As a full album?
I don't think so, no. I think there'd be too much, hate to say it, too much ego. I feel like after John, he just couldn't do it with anyone else. And plus, you'd compare everything to John to some extent, even though Elvis Costello is very different aesthetic and style. But I don't really see Paul doing an album with somebody else, a full album. Do you?
No. But I do think
they could have.
It's an effective tool that he uses over and over in his career, that he gets together with somebody to collaborate real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of energizes him into the next project he's about to do. We see it with him and David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, for instance.
Yeah.
Let's get together and then let's do Run, Devil, Run.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It's not him and David Gilmour. It's not, like David Gilmour's name's not on that album.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like, you know, even Kanye West, he sort of does a little bit of collaboration with him, and now we'll see where that leads, you know, if that energizes him to another project. So he's done it in the past.
I can think and of one of your favorite ones was Steve Miller.
Yeah. Hey, let's get together with Steve Miller and see what bounties this yields.
Maybe some boring blues tunes. Yeah. So, but you're right. That can kind of invigorate him. And clearly, they had something going with he and Elvis Costello because they recorded a lot of tunes. And that first one was 20 Fine Fingers, which I didn't realize was that was the title. I kept thinking it was 25 Fingers.
Well, you know, since it was a bootleg, was just sort of like out there as that for the longest time, and then they realized, no, it's fine.
Fine, not five. So. But it's got that good, it is sort of like an Everly Brothers sound, like the two voices in tight harmonies with acoustic guitars. And as we're going to see, a lot of the songs in this album have that basic background to it. And so that before they got very produced and filled up. So that's kind of the gist of the origin of the album. And it was very successful, had some hits. In fact, Paul had a number, the album made number one in the UK and Norway, and had some hit singles like My Brave Face and this one and others. So it was a kind of a back to form.
All right, well, let's hear My Brave Face. That starts the album out. That's a great way to start the discussion as well.
Well, terrific opener for an album, certainly. It catches you, grabs you right away with that vocal.
Yeah, I really like this one. I like the backup vocals on it. I like the energy of it. The bass is great.
Yes.
The production is totally 80s production, but it all works on this one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice acoustic solo.
Yeah, yeah.
But my favorite stuff is this sort of lyric-stuffed bridge, you know, the ever since you went away.
I've had this sentimental inclination.
Been trying to compose a baby please come home note for you, and that second bridge is really great. What do you think about it?
It's always been a favorite song of mine. One of Paul's best, I think. And it you can tell clearly the influence of Elvis Costello on that section you just mentioned, the bridge, the music. Musically, it's very Elvis Costello in the bridge. Yeah, like, as I clean away another untouched TV dinner from the table I laid for two.
Yeah.
That's great. Great line. So, catchy, good bass, good drums, good vocals.
Yeah. A good idea, too. It's like the idea of, like, oh, I'm putting on a brave face here. I've been crushed. Mm-hmm. I'm completely. He's like, I'm completely crushed. But they're singing it. Like, my brave face.
Yeah, it's real poppy and peppy. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I really like it. So
now one of the things about this album that supposedly Elvis Costello got Paul to do was pull out his Hofner bass again, which you kind of go back to the Beatley sound. So there is some Beatley timbre and quality to that song, as well as several others. Yet there's a funny thing in the booklet for the record that I have. There's a picture of Paul playing his Rickenbacker bass, so I'm not sure what that means, but that's what he's playing. So anyway, but yeah, great album opener for sure. So this leads into the next tune.
This one starts really hilariously to me.
Yeah, so should we take a listen?
A classic Paul McCartneyism here.
Well, I was thinking of Chris a lot during this one because it's got a lot of the McCartneyisms and histrionics. So let's check out a little of Rough Ride.
Bring it to me one more time.
Bring it.
inside. What will I do?
So what do you think about the 70 minutes of Rough Ride?
Well, that was going to be my main comment here. Clocking in at a cool 4 minutes 45 seconds here is Rough Ride, which is about a minute and a half too long. It's not. It's kind of interesting. It's a different kind of groove for Paul, I think. He doesn't have a lot of songs that sound like that, but it wears out its welcome a little much.
Well, it has this odd, unique sound to it. Like it's like almost like it's being played at sound check. The silliness with the break it one and the ow, stuff, whoop whoops and yep yeps.
Yep.
it's lame, lengthy, uninspiring lyrics.
Yeah,
vocally, he's really taking it seriously though.
Very
it's like one of those where it's
intense.
Like way more intense and serious than it actually is.
Yeah,
the parts that really bother me the most are the keyboard, like the keyboard bass, or boing, doink, 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 and the terrible Vox keyboard sounds are.
Yeah.
Did you also notice, I don't know if you caught this, but I'm not asking for an easy passage.
Yes.
Remember our Ode to a Koala Bear discussion where we're like, I will wait till I get to the end of the passage. So he's really obsessed with passages.
Yes, definitely. It's like you said, it's just kind of lazy lyrics, too. You've got, I needed loving, I needed a friend, I needed something that would be there in the end of a rough ride to heaven. Okay. Or I'm not ask. Or what's the other one?
I'm not asking for an easy passage.
I knew you'd help me. I knew you could. You knew I didn't want to be misunderstood. And very simplistic, cliche kind of lyrics. So to me, it's again typical McCartney. It's about the music, about the groove, and the yeah. lyrics are not memorable.
Not the last. He seems awfully concerned on this album, too, about heaven.
Yeah, there's a lot of heaven. Yeah,
a lot of heaven. All right, so the next track is really starts a great run of tracks on this album. This is one flat-out duet with Elvis Costello, and it's called You Want Her Too. Let's hear it.
Intentions are quite sincere.
That's not what you said the other night.
And all you can do is go
ahead. What do you think of You One or Two, Dave?
So, second of the McCartney McManus productions here and compositions. I think the beginning is a little funny with the sort of circus-like atmosphere. It doesn't really connect with the rest of the song particularly, unless it's maybe like it's supposed to be a roller coaster or a merry-go-round or something, since that's what the song is kind of about. But the melody is terrific, and the back and forth is really excellent. It is very much like a duet and very haunting melody. It stuck with me a lot, and I think it's good. It's sung well. Paul sounds good. He's really bringing it. Of course, I like Elvis's, "So why don't you come right out and say it, stupid?" kind of background there. giving you that kind of punk kid kind of sound.
I like the whimsical sort of carnival intro. I think you actually touched on why it's good, because it's sort of like this album sort of like, or this song sort of like, both of us are out of control over this girl. It's like a whirlwind happening.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I particularly like it in that when they get to the she makes me do things I don't want to do, there's sort of a wobbly drone going on. And it really sort of builds up the energy and tension in the song. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrically, this is probably the song was hurt and wasn't a big hit or anything because it's so similar in lyrics to The Girl Is Mine.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Two guys fighting over a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one's way better. It's hurt probably because it came second of the two.
Yep.
And The Girl Is Mine was a single release. But this is way better than that song. I love it. The jazzy outro that's
very cool,
tacked on is very cool.
Buddha.
I like it a lot. That's always been one of my favorites. I would have put this in our episode of Underrated McCartney if not for that I didn't want to put it in that episode, because I did put the next song in that episode.
You did, indeed.
And that is Distractions, which I'm going to demand that we play again.
Okay. Distractions. You've been a big fan of this song. What does it for you?
Well, it's complex, really, musically, and I like that they just dove in with a full production of this with oboes and fantastic acoustic solo, tremendous like harmony vocals after the break. My favorite moment of this is after the solo and the break, when they come in with that, I found a peaceful place far away from the noise.
Yeah.
And he's doing the harmony vocals.
Yeah.
Just so great. I like the meaning of the song too. The lyrics, the, you know, oh, I wish I had more time to spend with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a wonderful sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought there's this little thing. I'm not even sure if it was intentional, but it says away from all this jazz,
yes.
We can disappear. And then it goes away from jazz and into more of a classical feel there. That's when the strings come in.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you meant it, but I really like that. It's very complex, a lot of lines going on. It's just really, I could listen to it all day long. It reminds me a lot of the level of musicianship of a Eleanor Rigby and you know, some of his better works over the years that included classical elements to it.
I give a thumbs up. I don't really have much else to add other than it sounds great. And I remember when we did our Press to Play review, it reminded me the song Footprints reminded me of this, although I think this is a better song. But I think he has a good knack for that kind of a song where it blends a lot of different kinds of elements, and it seems like that's where his forte is. It's not just being a rocker or being a balladeer or something, but it's drawing from upon his many talents and interests to put together a great production song like this, which has good lyrics and good music as well. So we've neglected to say who's on all of these songs, though. There's been a couple constants. We have Robbie McIntosh from the
That's right,
yeah, from his touring band, and then Wicks is on a bunch of these tunes, who's still with him. And then I'm gonna let you introduce your favorite member of the 89-90 band, playing bass and always gonna take a picture out of him.
Yeah, that's Hamish and Robbie McIntosh here on
yes.
this car.
He's showing a great picture of the two of them.
Hamish
on tour.
Stewart.
Yes.
Hamish Stewart.
Hamish.
Chris Whitten, of course, on
drums.
And Linda. Lynn's my favorite.
Can't forget that. Look at that. That's a nice picture of Linda. You should post that on our Facebook page. Oh, you did, actually, didn't you?
Yeah. Wicks-Wickens.
Wicks-Wickens. Yeah, so good stuff. So the next tune is called We Got Married, and I think we'll have a lot to say about this one.
Going fast, coming soon. We made love in the afternoon. Found a flat. After that, we got married. Working hard for the dream. Scoring goals for the other team. Times were bad. We were glad. We got married. Like the way you open up your heart to each other. When you find the meeting of the minds, it's just as well. In the game, waiting up till the children came. Place your bets and no regrets. We got married. We got married.
Well, going fast, coming soon. We made love in the afternoon. Found a flat. After that, we got married.
Right at this point in the song that we cut it off, it sort of amps up.
Yes.
And then there's David Gilmour comes in, actually, with a really cool rhythm guitar lick. Amps up the whole second half, adds a lot of energy to it. Otherwise, I think it might have become a little bit tired, maybe a semi-forgettable if it didn't do that. But I really like where it goes. It's not just talking about old memories. It seems like it's a song about old memories, and then later it's like, place your bets, no regrets, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't work if you don't work at it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good line. Yeah.
It's great. Great. And the Loving Machine refrain.
Yeah. Well, this is, you mentioned it amps up when Gilmour comes in. Well, that's how in the concerts too, this was kind of the jam tune where they'd all go into it. Now Gilmour wasn't there, but it was still a big jam tune, and you can see why. And it gets very exciting at the end. With the, it's not just a loving machine. It doesn't work out if you don't work at it. And I like what Gilmour is playing at the end. He does some pinched harmonics and some very Pink Floyd-y type sounds. So it works well. This has always been one of my favorites on the album. So we've had a couple good. This just goes to show again when, like, Paul can actually write really good lyrics when he's feeling it. I don't know if this is kind of a song that would be, this is written when you're, he was about 48, so he had the perspective to look back on being married to Linda for 20 years, and yeah, maybe had a chance to really reflect, and so it was a lot more meaningful than some of his other earlier, like Rough Ride or something like that, that came earlier.
Well, and all of these, of course, like We Got Married, takes special significance
sure.
now, you know, once
sure.
Linda passed. So, you know, good song, good
yeah.
song. And once again, great in concert.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like you said. All right, well, the next tune is Put It There.
I wanna show you I'm your friend.
That's what a father said to his young son. I don't care if it weighs a ton, as long as you and I are here, put it there. Long as you and I are here, put it there.
That's a little put it there.
Yeah.
So this is sort of in that Blackbird early days sort of phylum of McCartney things, just him and the old acoustic. There's some strings come in at that point.
Yeah.
I like it. It's pleasant enough. It's not one of my faves or anything. I don't like, you know, seek it out or anything, but it's a pretty decent song.
Yeah, it was apparently the text was from something his father used to say to Paul about put it there if it weighs a ton, and so there that give me your hand, these sort of like father son type songs. And to add to the father narrative, George Martin did the orchestration in the song, so Paul, he was sort of a father figure to Paul to some extent, and so it is a nice generational song, very short, sweet. Yeah, like you said, he has a bunch of these. Every album has one of these, like Great Day, that was one, another one in this mm-hmm. vein. Jenny Wren, sort of another one. So there's always one of these kind of solo tunes like that.
I never dislike any of them.
No, they're all good. They're all,
yeah. they're all pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
And this one, I think, really fits well between We Got Married, which was real rocking. Yeah. And this next one, which is got a lot going on in Figure of Eight.
So Figure of Eight, this is perfect timing, actually, because we just flipped over the record in the original recording. This is the first tune on side two, and it was also, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, this was the song that the McCartney 89 tour started with, and it was a good opener with that wow beginning there, and you have the some of the classic people here on this one, like Chris Whitten on drums. And of course, Linda McCartney's on hand claps on this one. So
Dave, you're reading from it looks like you bought the vinyl.
I did. Yeah, I bought the remastered archive collection vinyl set, and it has the remastered album and the bonus record with the original demos, and it has the lyric sheet and personnel sheet that came in the original album. Yeah, it looks very nice. We'll talk about all the sound and everything a little bit later, but Figure of Eight. This one's a good one. He likes the key of E for some of these tunes, like We Got Married, Figure of Eight. I think there was another one too. It's a good guitar, bass, rock and key.
This one and My Brave Face
Are in
very
E too, actually.
Similar to each other in that they're. I like it. It's very, very 80s production. But I really... this is the song I think of when I think of 80s McCartney.
Yes.
like did sort of gentle scream singing, a lot of, he couldn't hit those notes now.
No, no, you wouldn't want to hear it now.
But all these like, whoa, whoa, whoas, like there's this great, I love this part where the background singers do that, is it better to love? And then he comes up, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Classic.
It's so great.
Yeah.
I also like, figure it out for yourself, little girl.
So, oh, yeah.
This all works for me. I like it a lot. It's a good song. Good song.
So it's followed up. I'd say we've got a pretty good string, like you were saying, a pretty good string of tunes here back to Distractions. Or actually, even before that, You Want Her Too. But now we end, and next one's another good one, I'd say, which is this one.
Yeah, we'll play a different version in the episode of this one, but this one also starts with a dramatic intro, the dring.
Yeah.
I don't know what's with this one, with that, but it's okay. It's sweet sentiment. I'd probably like to hear this one live more than I like the recording of it. I don't really like the background singing on this one, but McCartney's so earnest on this.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like on this odd harmonica-esque keyboard kind of. But not bad.
No, there's some nice lyrical things here, like the bridge is nice where he says, "What opportunities did we allow to flow by, feeling like the timing wasn't quite right." So again, that's that looking back. He's a little bit older, looking back at things, and again, very sincere. So I like that one. The next, someone's been absent for a while on this album, and now he's back. Well, at least in the songwriting credits on this one, and he's also on keyboards and harmonies. As we do, we have to. I guess we have to play "Don't Be Careless, Love."
Burn the midnight lamp down until the dawn. I'll keep watch until I'm sure you're coming home. Shadows play and flicker on the bedroom wall. They turn into
Do you think, Dave, that the vocals were placed in the proper register? That's my first question.
Yeah, judging by the amount of vocal straining that's going on, I think maybe Paul could have dropped that maybe a third or so, and it would have sounded a little better.
I think it would be interesting here.
How about dropping it an octave?
To drop it a full octave. So let's hear the original demo for this one, also on the collection. Which is just shocking when you hear it the first time.
Yes.
So here's "Don't Be Careless, Love" demo version from the second disc of the Flowers in the Dirt reissue.
Burn the midnight lamp down until the dawn. I'll keep watch until I'm sure you're coming home. Shadows play and flicker on the bedroom wall.
Yeah.
Whoa, totally different.
Yeah.
It works. I'd say it works better. It's a little lackadaisical, but it's at least it's comfortable. Doesn't sound like he's in pain.
Yeah, this song's never quite worked for me. And
no.
It's partially because of the super high-pitched vocals, so you can't even sing along with it without ruining your throat. and then you've got a sort of nonsense swooping kind of sound. Type things and kind of odd spiral staircase mm-hmm. lyrics. Falling through a spiral staircase.
Yeah.
It's like, huh? It sort of doesn't fall off the tongue very easily.
No.
So it doesn't work for me. I'm not a big Don't Be Careless Love guy.
No, and we've got the binary opposition of light and dark going here, because we're burning the midnight lamp, and then the lamp burns down and out, and then but in the morning light when I wake up again. Just a little bit cliched, I think. This song just doesn't work for me either. I don't know. It's not much else to say. This one is also another Elvis Costello McCartney tune, and I'm afraid I might say the same thing again, but we'll listen to it and see what we think of That Day Is Done.
I feel such sorrow, I feel such shame, I know I won't arrive on time before whatever out there is gone. What can I do? That day is done. It's just a promise that I made. I said I'd walk in her. I thought would flow, still in my heart, they'll never show.
So, Chris, what do you think of That Day Is Done?
What bothers me about it is it seems like they're going for sort of like a funeral New Orleans-y type thing. But unlike Distractions, they don't go all the way with it. And it's sort of like there's piano and keyboard sounds. You listed we were looking at the personnel on this, and there's all these horns, but you can barely even hear the horns
mm-hmm.
most of the time. I think it should feel more like where's the trombone?
Yeah, you know,
where's the a better piano sound that's a little more, you know, they should have recorded this in a church or something, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. It comes off like too, like the production's off or something.
Yeah,
the vocals are okay and the songwriting's okay. It just doesn't, and like no energy to it.
That's what I was gonna say. The problem with it to me is just it's boring. Just ends up being boring, and that's interesting because the first two collaborations we really liked, and now we've had two towards the end of this album that are suffering from different things. Like you were saying, either in the songwriting or the production. And I'd go for this one. It's just doesn't. Yeah, just underutilized horns and not sure what they were going for.
Definitely one of the ones where the demo is better.
Yeah, oh yeah.
If you ask me, because when they got in, let's have the whole band on this and all this.
Yeah.
This doesn't work for me. It just, they didn't execute it quite properly,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? We're not even going to play How Many People. A real weak track, if you ask me. Sort of, not even quite, once again, going halfway. It's sort of like a semi-reggae feel. Mm-hmm. Real weak vocals. but I wanted to pull out the old lyric sheet for this one.
Well, I should say it was, there's a little note before the lyric that says, dedicated to the memory of Chico Mendes, Brazilian rainforest campaigner. So this is one of Paul's semi-political songs, which he doesn't do very often, so I'm curious your thoughts on the lyrics here.
Well, give the guy some more to work with. Then.
Yeah.
I want to see ordinary people living peacefully. The other problem with these lyrics, he's asking a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
And you're like, I get it. It's rhetorical questions. But then here's the lyric, if you can tell me, I'll gladly listen. So it's sort of like, what?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't rhetorical.
No, he questions. Wants an answer.
How many people stand in a line? Well, tell me.
Yeah.
I'm listening. So it just doesn't work for me at all, this song.
No, I think he was trying, like with Looking for Changes, you know, that's like the opposite kind of song where it's just in your face with the animal rights. But I don't know. Paul just doesn't do political songs very well like this.
Freedom.
Yeah, well, Freedom.
This one's better than Freedom.
It is better than Freedom. I'll give you that. So. Yeah. Though Paul plays about 20 instruments on this song. He's got bass, guitar, harmonies, mellotron, piano, tambourine, flugelhorn. So he's very active on this one.
Something about the beat of this, though, it sounds like something that if you had a Casio keyboard back in the day, and you're like, oh, look at this demo. Yeah. Oh, it sort of sounds like a Casio keyboard demo. Got boom, dick, doom, dick.
Like when you push the button for reggae.
Yeah, reggae button. Oh, that's pretty good. But, you know, maybe that's Linda's influence, too. I know Linda was a big reggae. Let's hear a little of the next track, Motor of Love.
Well, so we have a closer here that's like another classic way that McCartney ends a lot of albums with a ballad. Well, this one clocks in at 6 minutes and 27 seconds. So, Chris, what do you think of the length of Motor of Love?
A little long. I do think it's probably the best of the last 5 songs, including the next one. There is one more that didn't make the... we'll talk about that in a second. The Heavenly Father, Heaven Above stuff's a little strange, a little out of play. You don't hear Paul talking too much about that kind of thing. Yeah, it's a little long. The last whole minute's just sort of like a little background singer's just sort of being like, motor of love, motor of love.
Like you'd be holding a lighter or something, swaying back and forth.
This one doesn't upset me too much. It works for me.
I just don't understand. I can't really grasp the image of a motor of love. I think that's maybe my problem. I'm imagining like a car motor. I don't know. It's a strange image. A motor of love, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe you can... Can you translate that for me?
Not really.
Okay.
Can't really do it.
No.
I mean, yeah, the lyrics are not the best, but this one does it. When it comes up, I don't skip it.
No, it's a good tune. Very, very nice, nice melody again.
Good vocal performance by Paul.
Yeah,
perfectly in his range. And
oh yeah,
sounds good. But some of the and this is a 80s production times 10. But
yes.
not too bad.
No.
Now the reason you were talking about that's the end of the album.
Yes. Because it is on my record.
Yeah, so yeah. The vinyl comes out in this re-release, and they leave a song off of it. But you can download that song, which you did. And that's I'm using song pretty loosely.
Yeah. Organized sound? I don't know.
Yeah. It's the song
Ue lo Sole.
Let's hear, let's hear some of this. What can you make of Ule des Le Soleil?
I think this is, well, Paul, he showed off his French in Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle it is not, right?
Yeah, Michelle it is not, the anti-Michelle. And so the lyrics for this one, Ue le soleil dans la tête travailler, which translates to, where is the sun? Inside your head or inside the head? Work. Great. So dance track.
That's it. That's the only lyrics over and over and over and over again for ad nauseum.
Yeah, almost 5 minutes again. So was it, you know, we always like to complain and about bonus tracks. Would you say this is well worth the bonus track wait here?
It does sound like a bonus track.
Yes.
It does not sound like a regular track.
In its literal definition, bonus track. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a track.
Yeah.
it's almost a non-song, though. I mean,
yeah.
First off, the intro. How important is this the song think it is going to be? All this build up and then finally get into it. But I don't think it's an interesting enough beat to me. It sounds kind of like the end credits of like a bad 80s detective movie or something.
Yeah.
Now, I know some of our listeners really like this track, and whenever we're doing this, we're just, you know, it's just our opinions, and mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's a bad song. If you like this track, great. But the positive of this is I think this is another one that I would put phylum again. I like using that phrase
mm-hmm.
of like McCartney 2.
Yeah, experimental.
Leads to some stuff, leads to this, leads to maybe the Fireman. It reminds me a bit of like Appreciate and yeah. Hope for the Future, neither of which we like.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of like in that sort of general thing where he's like, oh, let's try just doing a beat and a funky thing and mm-hmm. make it a dance club hit or something like
yeah.
that. But to me, it's just like, I don't know that much.
So if we had to rate the album overall first, and then we'll go into all the deluxe edition stuff in a moment, but just as an album, let's keep Ue le Soleil off for now, but just as a 13-track album proper, what are your final thoughts and summation and rating?
I'm a little torn. I had in my mind built this up to be like maybe best album or something like that, just from memory. But realizing I didn't really listen to it that often. And then I was very much anticipating the re-release, didn't get the box set for reasons we'll talk about here in a couple minutes. On these re-listens, it is an album that's a little more disjointed than I had that I'd remembered, but I really like a lot of the songs.
Yeah.
You One or Two, Distractions, Put It There, Figure of Eight, you know, all great. So I kind of give it like a letter rating, I'd say maybe B,
mm-hmm.
or B minus, maybe somewhere okay. right in there. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree to some extent.
Have we been doing number ratings?
We do numbers. Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll give it an 8.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go somewhere. I'll go 7.5. I'm going to say the Elvis Costello collaborations were good for Paul because it gave him some new energy and a different perspective and someone who's a good lyric writer who's very articulate to help with the lyrics. And he tried out some different things, so had some experimentation. And then I'd say the songs that we've talked about that are really good are really good. And some of the top tunes, if we were to pick some of the songs to put on Pure McCartney, what would you pick? I would pick My Brave Face, probably Distractions, Figure of Eight, and this one.
Yeah. You could talk me into Put It There. You could talk me into We Got Married. I mean, there's enough stuff there that, you know, it's like, oh, wow, this could really could go on to the greatest hits thing.
Yeah.
So
I'd probably give it, if I were giving a letter grade, I'd be somewhere between a B and a B plus for that. But there, unfortunately, as always with McCartney tunes, there's tunes that are not great that kind of drag things down, but they're never awful. I mean, there's always something. It's just they kind of drag down the good ones.
Like Motor of Love is a good example. It's not great, but I'm not gonna skip Motor of Love. I'm not even really gonna skip How Many People, but I think by far the worst song in the whole album. Or maybe Don't Be Careless Love. You know, I'm not gonna skip those. I do think I like that I gave it an 8 now that I am hearing myself, because I do sort of like this bonus disc.
Yeah.
So with the Elvis Costello. These are the Elvis Costello demos.
Right.
Is the 2-disc version that's probably going to be your sweet spot for people listening to this. For a guy like me who has Amazon Unlimited, you can get that version on there. You can hear all these bonus tracks. The first of which is The Lovers That Never Were, which would be a song that would end up on, Off the Ground?
Yes. And it's in a strange version, don't you think? Like the way Paul is singing it.
Yeah, they're just sort of both shouting.
Shouting at each other,
you know. The next track, let's play one of these. Let's play the next track, The Tommy's Coming Home, which is pretty good. And I think it's an interesting listen, because it's sort of like, well, this is sort of working, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so how the project kind of like sort of fell apart, didn't really turn into a full-blown partnership. I don't know. This is an example of it working. So here's Tommy Coming Home.
1, 2. She was counting out the window of an outbound train, all the poles of the telegraph, and the rock-a-bye rhythm in the song of the rails couldn't make the sleeper laugh. Down, 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 so deep. Down, down, drowning in his sleep. Tommy's coming home again. And a hawk hovered high above a skinny jackrabbit, pursued by a hungry fox. And the broker awoke from a fitful slumber and consulted his shares and his stocks. Down, down, down they go. Down, down, now we'll never know. Tommy's coming home again, and it's almost April.
Well, great harmonies on that track, and a very catchy tune, and spirited. Like you say, it just shows the possibilities for that duo and some of the good things that they did.
Yeah, 20 Fine Fingers, which we started off with, would also was something that, I mean, that demo is so good, it almost just could have made the album straight off from the demo.
Right.
They also did So Like Candy, which would end up being on Elvis Costello's album Mighty Like a Rose. You One or Two, a very similar kind of demo of You One or Two without the crazy whoop whoops. That Day Is Done, once again, a little bit better than the album version, probably. Don't Be Careless Love, of course.
Which we heard a little, yeah.
Yeah, My Brave Face, that version, and then Playboy to a Man is what it ends with.
Another tune on Elvis's Mighty Like a Rose album.
Yeah.
So
that's the two discs. So, but of course we get this deluxe treatment, right?
Yes. So do you want to hear it all?
Yeah, let's hear about the deluxe.
So we've got the original 13-track album that was remastered, which I would say I didn't notice a lot of difference in the remaster. It sounds very similar to the other album, maybe a little brighter. It wasn't noticeable like some of the other albums, but anyway, you get that version. You get 18 bonus audio tracks across two discs. So you get the demos that we just talked about with Paul and Elvis Costello. You get another disc that has the Paul and Elvis 1988 demos, which was the band, I believe. The full band is on that version. And then disc four are music videos. You get videos for My Brave Face, this one, Figure of Eight, Party Party. Ue La Sole, Put It There, Distractions, We Got Married. You get a little documentary on Paul and Elvis creating Flowers in the Dirt, the making of this one. You get the Put It There documentary. And then the most controversial part comes with the digital download stuff that, for some reason, Paul decided the excuse is he wants to be hip, like the kids nowadays, because everyone's downloading stuff. So I'm not going to give you a physical CD. So you're going to have to download all these B-sides, remixes, and single edits, including some really good songs. So this is the controversial thing. So what do you think about all this stuff? And I mean, we didn't even mention you got a 32-page notebook of handwritten lyrics and notes, photos, a whole story of the album in a 112-page book, interviews, blah, 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 all the usual stuff.
Well, and there's got to be a lithograph, right?
Oh, it has to be.
A lithograph.
Oh, single
Everybody's
artwork.
Clamors for those lithographs.
Yes.
Well, I think it's a mess. It really is. I mean, I'm not as upset about it as maybe people who purchased you purchased something for $125, basically. You want it to be user friendly.
Yeah.
But and if it was like, hey, here's all the stuff and you can download it all if you want to do that too. Like, make it an option. Sure. Give a download card and you can download the whole thing as a digital download.
Mm-hmm.
But to give some of it as a download, and then those are the more interesting things. But for instance, Back on My Feet.
Yep.
The First Stone, which is McCartney and Hamish Stewart written song. Flying to My Home, Good Sign.
Flying to My Home is a great song. That was the B-side of the My Brave Face single, and actually I still have my original Cuss single. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have that. It's a cassette with My Brave Face on one side and Flying to My Home on the second. I have no idea why that was not part of the original set or the album.
And then Party Party,
yeah,
which was on this thing I have, but somehow not only included as a digital download.
Right.
Plus, then there's these cassette demos, which are an additional separate download of three things. I think they're releasing those on Record Store Day on an actual cassette.
Yeah, because that's going to be played a lot.
Something you can buy. But it's just a mess if you want it all. And then there are two free downloads that you can go to his website distractions in this one. And even those, you have to give your email, and it's a whole to do.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest irritation I from what I read from people with these is that these digital download only things, it's not an easy download. It's not just like you hit one button, takes 2 minutes, you've got all the tracks. So I mean, do I care about Ule, this Ule tub dub mix or the party club mix? No, but still make it a little bit easier for people. The other thing is, why not make those ones? I just, the choice of like the digital download only tracks should probably be disc three.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that the 1988 demos, make those the additional download.
Sure, sure.
People would probably be like, yeah, whatever, okay, sure. You know, but the fact the ones that people kind of want to hear are the download. It's confusing.
Yeah.
Then your vinyl is missing a track.
Right. So fortunately, if you buy the vinyl, you get a download card. So I can vouch for the fact that you do have to download each track individually. I mean, it didn't take too long, but I can imagine if you're doing the whole set, it will take you a while. But yeah, you're missing the Ues Le Sole, so I did have to get that separately. So mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe the first world problems here, but it's
yeah.
But still, it's
a mess. Pay for it, and you can still get it. Yeah, but it's a. I feel like they just don't quite. You know, we one of our first episodes of this podcast was reviewing these deluxe sets, and we had a lot of problems with them because it's like they're overpriced. You get some stuff that you'd really want, and you get some stuff that you don't. And you're paying a little too much money for not enough bang for your buck.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And this set is $125, and it is for the same price we're getting an upcoming Beatles Sgt. Pepper set.
Just about to announce that. Yeah,
that's going to have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the exciting news of the week. So hopefully you saved your money from this one. So didn't buy the deluxe version.
So I think, the short, long and short of it is we would just recommend buying the two disc version, or you could forego all of that if you subscribe to Spotify or Amazon Music or other streaming services, and you can just listen to it that way. But for the completist, of course, you want to, get the whole thing, but it is confusing and expensive if you were to do get every single thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So another question to kind of wrap things up here, I wanted to ask you, we're kind of running low on the main albums of the McCartney Archive Collection here, and we're mm-hmm. kind of digging into the second ranks at this point. So, I mean, what kind of market is going to be out there for someone to buy a super deluxe version of Red Rose Speedway or... London Town or something like that? What's the future of these, do you think?
It would still be nice. I mean, completists are completists. So you want to have one of these for every, you want to have one of these for Wings Wildlife. You want to have one of these for, London Town.
Yeah.
We haven't got a London Town. I think there's going to be interesting bonus stuff on all of those. The other complaint I've heard about this set is, where's all the Return to Pepperland material? Mm. Missing, really bad stuff, some of it. But, it'd be nice to be able just to get everything and it be chronological and it be, you'd have the full sets. But I'm not – it's nerve-wracking for the completist who's gotten all of these that maybe they won't continue.
Yeah.
Maybe you're never going to see,
The Wildlife Deluxe set?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And why the length of... this one took a long time between the last one and this one.
That's true. Because what was the previous one was the Pipes of Peace Tug of War.
Yeah. And that was early last year, I think.
Yeah.
So a full year. Are we getting another one this year? Probably not.
No.
What are we getting next? if we're getting anything.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't know. It's we'll see. We'll see. And how does the, you know, we've discussed on this podcast, we didn't even think this one might not be coming out.
Right.
Because the whole Capitol Records of it all.
Yeah, that's another wrinkle too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a confusing mess.
Yeah. It is.
So, but
I guess,
and each set is of different varying quality, but in all honesty, I haven't purchased any of them, these big sets. I've always sort of wanted to.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge McCartney guy, but I'm not, you know, it's hard to justify spending $150 on some of these sets.
Especially when you're getting like you were just mentioning, the Sgt. Pepper set that's coming out, the 6 CDs with it looks beautiful, all this stuff in there and things we've not heard, and even the completists have never heard, and you know, that's for the same exact price almost. It's just really amazing.
Oh, it's something we're going to continue to monitor over the next few years, obviously, but yeah. That's the other thing, is the pace of it. It's like,
yeah,
could we get if we're going to do all the albums, let's get them out a little quicker, huh?
That would be nice. Yeah, I mean, surely someone's always working on them. I mean, there's a crew that works on these things, and they don't just wait every year for someone to tell them to get going. I mean, there's a lot of time involved in research and remastering and finding the tracks and all that. So you would think that somebody's already working on the next one.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. Well, maybe, especially.
You think some of the holdups always Paul? Like,
I do.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, Paul, we need those pictures for the. thing. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Lind had a whole roll of pics. Pictures. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I'll find them. Yeah. 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 I bet it is Paul probably holding things up because he's busy, obviously. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In any case, it's been nice to go back and listen to Flowers in the Dirt again, and I'm glad we have the new tracks with Elvis Costello to compare and enjoy. So that's been a bonus of this.
Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed the last 99 episodes.
Ooh, hard to believe.
And we're really coming up. The next couple episodes are going to be fantastic. The next episode is our 100th episode, Dave.
Wow. Did you ever think we'd be here for 100?
They thought we wouldn't get to episode 3.
Yes.
But... we almost did it. We'll play some audio clips of those old ones on the next episode. Well, the 100th episode is going to be sort of a review of the whole, all of our stuff. So, but we'd like to know, and you can go to our Facebook page, and I've pinned a post to the top of the page, and we'd love it if you would tell us some of your favorite episodes that we've had, favorite moments, least favorite moments,
yeah,
if you want to.
Least favorites are fine too, yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely going to play some clips for you, some of the more fun moments we've had. I've got a few that I really want to play. We've talked about a couple, so I'm in the process of pulling clips for us.
Excellent.
To play, but it'll just be kind of a look back and a little bit of a look forward as to some of the great things coming up in our future. So,
yeah. Going to be fun. Looking forward to it. So, yep.
As always, at I've Got a Beatles on Twitter. We have an email if you want to email us your thoughts on our 100th episode. Dave, yes. What's the email?
Email is I've Got a Beatles podcast, all one word, at hotmail.com.
Great. So we'll go out with something you can download for free from the Paul McCartney website, one of the two free offerings here, and that's the demo version of a song we didn't play in the podcast, this one. So that's it, and thanks for listening.
What opportunities did we allow to flow by, feeling like the timing wasn't quite right? What kind of magic might have worked if we had stayed calm? Couldn't I have given you a better life? Did I ever take you in my arms, look you in the eye, tell you that I do? Did I ever open up?
let you look inside. If I never did it, I was only waiting for a better moment that didn't come.
This one.